Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please. To John Rothstein, please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we will be joined by newly minted Alabama head coach Nate Oates. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is being brought to you by Geico. Okay, I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years, and anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers, and in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of time. And now that we've got you set for all your Geico needs, obviously we're going to continue with our series and featuring new head coaches on the College Hoops Today podcast. Nate Oates did a great job at Buffalo. 6 years ago, he was just getting introduced to Division I basketball as an assistant coming in from high school. You never want to be the guy who follows the guy in sports. And in a lot of ways, Nate Oates was the guy who followed the guy at Buffalo. He was an assistant under Bobby Hurley. Bobby Hurley led that team to the NCAA tournament, where they were very competitive in a loss against West Virginia in the round of 64 before Bobby Hurley moved on to Arizona State. 96 wins in 4 years for Nate Oates, 2 NCAA tournament wins, 59 wins over the last 2 years. Now he steps up a weight class. That is who we're going to talk to in just a little bit. It's an interesting time of year in college basketball because everybody right now, myself included, is just waiting for clarity, waiting to find out who is going to come back to college basketball next season after going through the NBA draft process. We're a little bit over 3 weeks away from getting that clarity that we all seek. Other than that, though, right now, there's a couple of other things we're going to kind of, you know, touch on later in the podcast in terms of some news and notes, but I want to continue to talk again about what we saw come out in the trial in the Southern District of New York last week, and obviously it's going to be finalized. And this is the one thing I want to leave everybody with, and it's been a prevailing thought of mine for a long time in regards to the programs that have been mentioned at this trial. The optics that are involved when you have people associated with middlemen in college basketball for recruiting, for under-the-table recruiting, are never good. It is never a good day for a college or a university to be established in that light. And there's been stuff mentioned, obviously, about Arizona. There's been stuff mentioned about LSU. And there's been stuff mentioned about other schools dating back to the trial that we saw in the fall. But here is the big thing that we need to keep in mind. There is no substantial evidence that shows proof of any of these head coaches involved, Sean Miller, Will Wade, cheating. Now, there's stuff, obviously, that shows you a lot of smoke, but we haven't seen proof. We have not seen evidence. Now, for a lot of colleges and universities, they wouldn't stand for this. A lot of colleges and universities would not entertain keeping a head coach who was even remotely connected to this type of situation. But here's the big thing that you need to remember. Coaches who win at a high level in college basketball are good for business. Coaches in college basketball who do a service financially for the school by selling out a building and constantly creating a buzz in the community is good for the bottom line of that school. And there's a lot of colleges and a lot of universities in our society, and people may not want to hear this, but it's the God's honest truth, who value that over maybe doing what is morally correct. Now, again, there's no proof that either of these guys did anything wrong. There is a lot of smoke, but we have not seen fire. Now, people have thrown out, obviously, that Rick Pitino didn't know what was going on with Brian Bowen. He shouldn't have lost his job at Louisville. Rick Pitino was fired, okay, from the University of Louisville because he already had a program that was on probation. Rick Pitino, everybody remembers, has had multiple incidents in the last 10 years. There was the extramarital affair, which he survived. There was also the incident with the strippers in the players' dorm. And finally, the third major scandal was the one that made Louisville terminate the Hall of Fame head coach. Why did it last that long? Because Rick Pitino is good for business and was good for business for the University of Louisville and the KFC Yum Center. And that's just the truth that a lot of people want to grasp and need to grasp. A lot of people don't probably want to grasp that, but it is the truth. Arizona, since Sean Miller has been the head coach, haven't gotten to a Final Four, won a lot of basketball games, been the seminal program in the Pac-12. LSU, since Will Wade's been the head coach, won a league championship this year. I'm not saying there's not smoke about other things, but these are the facts. For a lot of people in those respective communities, these guys are good for business. And that's just a fact of life. It took Rick Pitino, and again, Rick Pitino is beyond the level of a head coach of a Sean Miller or a Will Wade, but it took Rick Pitino three situations to get him removed at Louisville. And again, with Sean Miller and Will Wade, as of right now, Monday afternoon, May the 6th, 1:51, there is no proof. We heard all this stuff about surveillance and wiretaps. Neither of these guys showed up on a wiretap that was played in federal court. A lot of smoke, no fire. We get back to basketball when we return. Nate Oates, the newly minted head coach of Alabama, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Coming up next. Alabama has a new head basketball coach. He comes to Tuscaloosa off great success at Buffalo. Alabama's new head coach is Nate Oates, and he joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And Nate, what type of words would you use to describe the last 6 weeks of your life?
Hectic, crazy, busy, exciting.
Where were you when you first got the call from Greg Byrne?
We landed, so we lost to Texas Tech on a Sunday. You know, we were Friday, Sunday, so we beat Arizona State on a Friday, lost to Texas Tech Sunday, got in the plane on Monday morning, landed. When I landed, there was a voicemail from Greg Byrne, so I listened to the voicemail, got all of our luggage off the plane, walked to the car. There was a car parked next to mine with a Alabama Roll Tide license plate holder parked right next to my car at the airport, so I thought it was a good sign. But yeah, so when we landed from it, then I called him on my ride home, and shoot, that was on a Monday. And Tuesday night he was in town. Him and Jeff Purinton, Associated D, were in town in Buffalo interviewing me Tuesday night.
And what was that first conversation like, Nate? You know, when he talked to you about the job, obviously, that you now hold.
I mean, initially, just the first phone call he had with me was just seeing if I had any interest in the job. Then he called my AD to get permission to talk to me. So, you know, I obviously told him I was interested. Shoot, Alabama's got one of the best national brands in the country when it comes to college athletics. Obviously, football's been driving that. But, I think sports in general can be huge here. I think there's five different sports teams that won national championships at Alabama. So, I was definitely interested. I said it would take something real special to get me to leave Buffalo, and I felt like Alabama would be one of those special cases if everything lined up right. And, you know, he ended up coming in and interviewing me. And part of the interview was him selling me on Alabama, which I didn't think he had to do a whole lot of sales. I've been a huge Coach Saban fan. If anybody that studies coaches, he's one of the best, if not the best coach in the world at any different sport. So that was a huge selling point. Obviously, the resources you get here at Alabama are a big selling point, but there was a lot of things that made a lot of sense to take the job here.
Well, that brings me to my next question, and we're going to get to Coach Saban later in this chat. But from a geographic perspective, you had pretty much worked as a high school coach in Michigan, and then you were a coach in Buffalo. But that quarter in the Midwest and Western New York was really the quarter which you had worked in basketball. Did you have any trepidation about taking now a job in the Deep South?
You know what? Not really, because I think – The way everything is now, obviously, I haven't lived in the South, but we've recruited. When I was at Buffalo, I mean, if you looked at our roster, you know, we had Blake Hamilton from Pasadena, C.J. Massenburg was from Dallas. We had three players on our roster from Florida. Jeremy Harris was from North Carolina. You know, we had, obviously, the Detroit, Milwaukee, Minneapolis connections, you know, from being in the Midwest. But we had branched out quite a bit, and I think, like I said, Alabama's a national brand. I don't think you have to be from – now, obviously, they get a lot of Alabama kids, but I think Alabama kids grow up wanting to go to the University of Alabama, and, you know, we're going to put a product out there that's going to make them want to go here even more, I think, with our style of play. I think you get athletes down here in the Southeast with the way we play. We were number one in the country in transition points per game. You know, we were fourth in the country in – pace of play on offense. So I think with the athletes, they want to play a little faster. So I think it made sense in that regard. With you know, the SEC is a little more up-tempo athletic league. So I think that made sense. But yeah, I mean, shoot, I think with the way today's culture is, with how much social media and the internet and everything, you're able to get kids from all over to see what you're doing anywhere you're at.
Alabama head coach Nate Oates joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Now, you obviously went to Alabama, a chance to coach, you know, in an elite league in the SEC, and obviously a great brand as well. But one thing that you had never done as a college head coach was had to say goodbye to a team. What was the experience like for you personally to say goodbye to your kids at Buffalo and tell them that you were taking another job?
That was tough. I give credit to Greg Byrne at Alabama. He allowed me to do it in person. I know when Coach Hurley left Buffalo, they did not, and he had to try to do it over a conference call, and that was – I was sitting in the room with the players, and that's – I wanted to be able to do it in person, even as tough as it was. You know, he allowed me to do that. You know, they released it at the same time I was telling the team. So, we set it up for 4 o'clock. We called a team meeting at 4. I was telling the team at 4, I think they were releasing it from Alabama at about 4:05. So it kind of happened simultaneously, and then we had the press conference the next day. But, you know, just looking all those guys in the eye that I'd gone to war with and we had helped develop, shoot, some of them, we had a couple freshmen we just recruited, you know, and they'd only been with us a year, and just to see what we were building. And that's why I said earlier that, you know, and I had just signed a contract extension only a few weeks before, and we really didn't want to leave. You know, me and my wife, Crystal, and I really grew to love New York and Buffalo, Western New York, and the people there and the players we had felt like family. So, you know, there was a few tears shed, you know, a lot of hugs, and told the guys I'd still be there for them. You know, guys that graduated, they able to come down and work out at Alabama if they'd like. You know, I'd make calls for them. But, yeah, it's hard. I mean, they become like family. I got three daughters and no sons, and those boys kind of became like big brothers to my daughters. So my daughters weren't happy with me. They still aren't really. But they'll get some more big brothers down here in Alabama once we get them down here and get them adjusted.
Well, and that really starts the transition, because you're ending one chapter of your life and you're bringing another one, you know, to the table in Alabama. I'm curious, for somebody who 6 years ago was just getting introduced to college basketball, how surreal was it the day of the press conference at Alabama?
Yeah, well, I met Coach Saban about half hour before the press conference, so that was kind of a big deal. He's kind of a big deal in sports, college sports in particular. So, but yeah, I mean, it's a little crazy. And I think it's, you know, I know this, when I talk to high school coaches, it gives a lot of high school coaches, you know, hope, you know, and there's a lot of high school coaches, to be honest with you. You know, Coach Hurley, Danny and Bobby both gave me my start, you know, Bobby being with Danny and then Danny hiring me. But I told Bobby when I interviewed him, like, Coach Hurley Senior, Bobby Hurley Senior, he kind of led me to the point where as a high school guy, I was going to be comfortable if I stayed in high school for my whole career because that was one of the best coaches in the country, and he'd stayed in high school and was a Hall of Fame coach being in the high school ranks. Well, then when Bobby offered me the job, I felt like being in that family, I couldn't turn it down. And, you know, I felt like we were going to get it rolling. We did. You know, he's a great coach. He's doing a great job at Arizona State. And once I got into Buffalo and we started really getting it rolling, you know, first as an assistant, then as a head coach, I think it, you know, it started to look like maybe I was going to have a chance to be a high major coach. But, shoot, 6 years is, yeah, 6 years ago today, I was still teaching a math class back at Romulus. So it's still fresh. If you need some stats tutoring or whatever, John, I can help you out with the analytics and all that if you'd like.
No, it's an unbelievable story. What was the first conversation? What was the first impression like for you with Nick Saban?
I mean, he's all business, but he's personable. He's really good at what he does, and there's a lot of respect, and you can tell in the room there's a lot of respect. You know, it was Coach Saban and President Bell and, you know, the Chancellor St. Jean, the head of the board here for the, you know, Chancellor. I mean, there's a lot of important people in there, and you can tell Coach Saban had a lot of respect among everybody, and rightfully so. I mean, the guy's got 6 national championships, and he's very good. I spent an hour over in the football offices this morning. Coach Burns has been with them since he's been here. Kind of gave me an hour of his time. I'm trying to pick their brain. I'm going to try to learn from them. I'm going to go over there whenever I can and try to pick their brains and see what they're doing and see what we can implement from what they're doing. I think there's a lot of things that cross over from sport to sport, particularly in college athletics with football, men's basketball. So I'm gonna try to learn as much as I can from that program over there.
Now, he's obviously somebody that you're gonna lean on as obviously a resource as you're going through things, as you're now a high major head coach. But Bobby Hurley was somebody who you had fill that role as well, because he was the first person who hired you in Division I basketball. You coached against him in the NCAA tournament this year in the round of 64. What was it like for you to emotionally go through that, to face your former boss in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, it wasn't fun, to be honest with you. I didn't like to see that. I mean, you got to the end, and we were the last region that they were calling, and, you know, I was pretty confident that they were going to get in. We knew we were in because we won the MAC tournament. And then all of a sudden you see it come up. And I kind of texted Danny right away. Like, me and Danny had been texting, like, you know, he knew he wasn't making it at UConn this year, but we had been texting going in, and he's like, I mean, he was the one that first put it out. Like, they may put you and Bob against each other. I did not want to play him. I mean, he gave me my shot in this business. I knew we had a really good team, and, you know, the fact that they had to play on Wednesday night in Dayton and we played them Friday, there was obviously, I knew we had an advantage. I mean, we were 6 seed, they were an 11 seed, so I knew we were going to be the favorite team. But on more than just if we had just played a regular game on a neutral floor, was that they were coming off playing Wednesday night and had to fly in there, got in Thursday morning, and, or the middle of the night, Wednesday night, and had one day prep to play us on Friday. So, I just buckled down. I called him Sunday night after the bracket came out when it was apparent that we might face each other. He had to get through St. John's first, and he did. But so we kind of talked Sunday night, didn't talk again until right before the game. And then I tried not to look down at the other bench. I just tried to coach my team as hard as I could and not think about who I was coaching against and just try to coach him. And he was really complimentary after the game. He was great. You know, we were fortunate enough to have a really veteran group. You know, one of his better players, a freshman, it's hard to win. And I mean, you look at the Final Four teams this year and see how many freshmen actually played. There wasn't that many. So the fact that we had some fifth-year seniors and a lot, you know, 5 seniors in our top 7 in the rotation, you know, and one of his better players was Lugan Storch, who's only a freshman. So I think that kind of came into play. But, yeah, that was not a fun night. I hope I don't have to play him ever again, to be honest with you. I'd rather not play him or Danny, either one.
No, there's no doubt about that. Now, I'm curious, you saw a situation arise where obviously you played Texas Tech in the round of 32, and they obviously played great, and they played great throughout the NCAA tournament. Did you expect, after seeing them in person, them to go on the type of run that they did?
I did, actually, to be honest with you. They were really good. I mean, we played some pretty good teams. I watch a lot of basketball. I'm a hoops junkie and watch a lot. I mean, we had watched a lot of Pac-12 because they were the only ones on late at night. That was one of the best teams I've seen. They were playing their best basketball at the right time of the year. I really felt like we had a Sweet 16, Elite Eight type, you know, things broke the right way, Final Four type team at Buffalo this year. And I mean, they kind of manhandled us. When they did that to us, knowing the type of team that we had, I knew they had a chance to make a pretty deep run. And they, you know, shoot, when they're playing the national championship game with a real shot to win it, it doesn't make your loss to them look so bad anymore.
Alabama head coach Nate Oates joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Alabama right now a team in the SEC hoping to break into the NCAA tournament next year. And Nate, what's your impressions right now of the roster that you inherited?
It's actually pretty good. I mean, you know, Coach Johnson did some things pretty well here. You know, I think he recruited a pretty good roster. They, you know, John Petty, Kyra Lewis, Kevin Mack, Herb Jones, they've got some four perimeter guys right there that can all really play and kind of fit the way we'd like to play. So we had to add some more perimeter depth. They've got some bigs that are solid. They can really contribute. I think Galen Smith plays really hard, and Alex Reese is a skilled big. We've got pieces. We had to add a little depth. We did that with Beetle Bolden, and then they had a top 20 recruiting class, three top 100 kids that, you know, that Antoine Pettway had done a really good job at recruiting them all and was able to keep them, and we kept all them even with the coaching change. So then we added another top 100 kid, so we've got four top 100 kids coming in as freshmen that all have a chance to contribute, and some pretty good returners. So, you know, Avery resigned, you know, whatever happened there, but they actually left us a fairly decent roster to coach next year, and I'm excited to coach these guys.
Well, Nate, you know, it's interesting. You know, you look at a scenario when there's a coaching change. Usually there's a coaching change when the basketball program hasn't been obviously living up to the caliber that people expect. But, you know, Coach Johnson in 4 years went to one NCAA tournament where he won a game and three NITs. So how is the dynamic different when you're replacing somebody who did do a good job?
Yeah, I mean, they won 18 games last year. If you look, the SEC had seven teams make the NCAA tournament, and the seventh team out of those NCAA tournaments, we were the next team down. I think we were tied with Florida, if I remember right, or we were tied with somebody right there at 8-10. But I mean, it's, you know, you're obviously going to change some stuff. We're going to play much faster than what they played before, and play a lot more perimeter oriented with four out and one in with, you know, almost four guards. If we can get some bigger guards, kind of the way that we like to play at Buffalo. But so style's going to change, but you know, I a lot of respect for the staff before us and assembling the roster they did. Now, you know, and I kept Antoine Pettway, and he was a big part of that. But even, you know, Coach Pelfrey got the job at Tennessee Tech. A lot of respect for him. I met with him. I kept all the assistants here, you know, for the first week that had been on with Coach Johnson, and I thought that they had done a really good job and kind of kept the program together during the transition period. I was really happy for John that he got the Tennessee Tech job. I think he's going to be great. He was really a real asset to me for the first week here, just kind of acclimating myself to the job. So I think the staff was decent. It's, you know, there's just going to be a change of styles, a little bit different change of leadership styles too. I'm going to try to, you know, have a little bit more one-on-one meetings, you know, get the guys. Just things are different, you know. We're here to make changes. We're going to make some changes, but there was also a lot of good stuff that was going on here before we got here.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And now you're in a situation where you're trying to continue not just to raise the bar for Alabama, but for yourself. The SEC last year was a conference that saw obviously half of its league make the NCAA tournament, and you know, two teams played in the Elite Eight in Auburn and Kentucky. For you personally right now, despite all the success you've had, what is it like to step into a league that is no doubt stepping up a weight class?
Shoot, you look at the SEC, you obviously got Cal Perry at Kentucky, who does an unbelievable job every year. Rick Barnes of Tennessee just had them ranked number one in the country for, you know, more weeks than anybody else was all year. Then you look at Auburn, who just went to the Final Four, and here in the same state that we're in, with Bruce Pearl doing a great job. And then, I mean, you just go down the list of the teams in the SEC, and it's, I mean, there's a lot of really good coaches, and there's a lot of really good programs in this league that you're going to get yourself tested every night out. So we better be on top of our game. We better be ready to go, and our guys are going to have to play hard. And it's going to, like you said, I mean, 6 years ago I was a high school coach, so I got my work cut out for me here, but we're here to get it done. I think we're going to work as hard as anybody. That's one thing you can control. We're going to control what we can control, and that your work ethic's one of those. We're going to work harder. I think we're going to put a product on the floor they're proud to be a part of here at Alabama, and they got some real proud fans here. Obviously, with five national championships in the last 10 years or so in football, they expect a lot down here, and we're going to try to get basketball raised to I don't know that I want to say the same level as football, because that's a pretty ridiculous level, but we're going to get it raised to a level that they're proud of, proud to be fans of the basketball program here.
Yeah, well, if you can win six national championships, you know, in basketball, they definitely put a statue up of Nate Oates in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. But what's the excitement like for you, not just obviously to be around Coach Saban, but those football home games now are going to be a big, big recruiting tool for you?
Yeah, huge. That's, you know, we're talking to kids about that, and anybody that's a And really, to be honest with you, I'm a huge basketball junkie, and I love football. And after that, I don't watch much else. I don't watch baseball, golf. Don't even know the rules to hockey, really. So I was trying to learn them while I was in Buffalo. But I'm a big basketball and football guy. That's about it for me. So I've been like I said before, I was a huge Saban fan before I even got here. Respected Alabama football. I love college football myself. So we're going to try to get the recruits on here and get a taste of what Alabama football is like, and hopefully they want to be a part of something special like we've got going down here just with the whole university. And I'm excited to have it. You know, we tried to make football part of the recruiting up in Buffalo, but it, you know, that lasted a couple weeks up there. You know, we had to get them all in the early September before the snow started falling down here. I think we can go September, October, the whole 2 months, and get everybody coming in here and have some big-time football games down here that we can bring recruits to.
Nate, final thing for me. Obviously, you know, you want to win at a high level, but from a style-wise, from a culture perspective, what is the biggest one thing you hope to accomplish in your first year as head coach at Alabama?
I want our team to be the hardest-playing team out there every night. I think a lot of coaches say that, but I think we can really raise the level of the effort that we give on a daily basis in practice and in games. And in doing so, our style that we play, you know, we're going to play fast. So if our effort's where we want it to be and we're playing at the pace we want it to be, I think it's going to be a product people really like to see, and that's going to get the momentum going. And I think wins will take care of themselves if you're giving an effort and pay attention to all the little details on the defensive end. And what people don't get is that at Buffalo, you look at KenPom, all the way up till we played Texas Tech, we were one of the only teams in the country that was top 30 on both offensive and defensive efficiency. We ended up 31st, I believe, in defense. We didn't have a great last game there. But, you know, we paid attention to both sides of the ball. So I know we got a big rep for putting up points. We were top five in the country in scoring in each of the last 2 years, and number one in transition points per game, and put up a lot of numbers. We were over 110 three different times the last year at Buffalo, but people lose sight of the fact we played really hard on defense too, and people that really watched us knew that. So I think that's what we want to get started right out of the gate here at Alabama, is just how hard we're going to play on defense, which will then get the fast break started for us, and we are going to play fast and up tempo. So we're going to get our style put in, but I think we're just going to stress to the guys about giving max effort every day in practice and games both.
Well, Nate, appreciate a couple minutes, man. Know how busy you are. Congratulations on all your success, and look forward to staying connected along the way.
No, I appreciate you having me on, John. You have a good day.
We'd like to thank Alabama head coach Nate Oates for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, I want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, send me your questions on Twitter. I will get to them right now. Matt John Rothstein, that's John, J-O-N. And our first question right now is going to come from Carter Henry, and it's John, will Fred Hoiberg win an NCAA tournament game at Nebraska? Carter, I don't think there's any doubt, and I wrote this last week on Twitter. Fred Hoiberg, in 5 years as head coach of Iowa State, led the Cyclones to 4 NCAA tournament wins in 5 years. If he does half of that at Nebraska, there will be a statue built of Fred Hoiberg in Lincoln. And I got to tell you, it's going to be interesting, obviously, to see what happens in the late recruiting period. But Nebraska already is putting together an interesting roster with all these transfers that I think has a chance that they could be competitive next season moving forward in the Big Ten. Our next question comes from Emmanuel Gutierrez. And it's John, what is Georgetown's floor and ceiling next season? As far as the floor for Georgetown and the ceiling, look, this is what I'm going to say about Georgetown. I am holding off on doing a top 25 for next season until we see everybody who's back from school during the NBA draft process, but I expect the Hoyas to be on that list. Four starters back, you add Omer Yurtseven, obviously the transfer from NC State. You also add Terrell Allen from UCF. I like Georgetown. I like Georgetown a lot heading into next season. And our final question for our social media portion is going to be Johnny Mambrino, and it's John, does Notre Dame have a chance to turn around and win more than 20 games? Haven't taken full inventory yet of the ACC because of everything that's in flux with the draft, but look, Mike Bray knew that he was going to have an exceptionally young team last year. It is uncharacteristic of a Mike Bray coach team to not be in the NCAA tournament. I fully expect Notre Dame to get a healthy Rex Pfluger back. I fully expect Notre Dame to be in a situation where it's competing for an NCAA tournament berth. This was a young team, a lot of young guys got key minutes like Prentice Hub, like Nate Leshefsky, like this young nucleus a lot at Notre Dame. I expect Notre Dame, if it can remain healthy, to be right back in the ACC mix next season. Now time for some nuggets, and five good nuggets is sponsored by our friends at Geico. Great news, there's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And now let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, following the pack. The Pac-12 announced last week that it will expand to 20 conference games during the 2020-21 season. This is a positive step forward for the league to ensure that its best teams will play each other. But truthfully, going to 20 games ultimately only helps the Pac-12 if the caliber of the teams in the league rise. I looked it up over the weekend. Only two teams from the Pac-12 last season in the top 50 of the net, only seven in the top 100. Nugget number two, 2019, far from done. These right now are the six top uncommitted prospects in the class of 2019. Two guys who reclassified, RJ Hampton and Johnny Juzang, and then four regular guys, Jaden McDaniels, Precious Achiuwa, Trendon Watford, and Boogie Ellis, who recently decommitted from Duke. Nugget number three, gliding with Gilder. Over the weekend, Texas A&M grad transfer Admon Gilder committed to Gonzaga. He's immediately eligible. Why is this so big? Gonzaga had no experience at the lead guard spot. Admon Gilder, a combo guard at Texas A&M, though people on that staff believe that he could play the point guard position. He did so in spurts at Texas A&M. Obviously, Gonzaga with a number of players in the NBA draft process. Brandon Clark, Rui Hachimura, obviously expected to stay in the draft. They're waiting, though, on Philippe Petrušev. Obviously, they're waiting on Zach Norvell and also Killian Tilly. Nugget number four, rack attack. Rutgers next year, in my opinion, will have legitimate expectations for the first time under Steve Peichel. They returned virtually everybody of significance from a team that won 7 Big Ten games, adds a grad transfer from Stony Brook and a Kwasi Yeboah, also adds a transfer from Texas and Jacob Young, and a freshman who they expect to contribute in Paul Mulcahy. Nothing will come easy for opponents at the rec in 1920. And nugget number 5, all eyes are on Beale Street. I'm referring to Memphis. I'm not sure there's a team with as much to gain in spring recruiting as Memphis. The Tigers are still firmly in the mix for RJ Hampton, Trendon Watford, Precious Achiuwa, and Boogie Ellis. These are all guys who I mentioned before as some of the top unsigned players in 2019. Memphis has high expectations entering the next season. They could get higher with a couple more commitments. We'd like to thank Alabama head coach Nate Oates for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.